Welcome to the Shir in Sfarno, Parashios Behar B'chukosai. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Mel and Heidi Rosenbach, marking the yard site tonight of Mel's mother, Shendel Bastover, Jean Rosenbach, Shomash Rabban Aliyah, and Shusim Oshnachas Ruach, and the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim, that the family are involved in. Beginning of Parshas Behar, as we spoke about yesterday, starts speaking about the mitzvah of Shemitah, of the sabbatical year. After spending a few psukim speaking about the Shemitah year, so the Torah tells us there's something called the Yovel, the Jubilee year, as well. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Ches, Perek Chafei Pasuk Ches, V'sofartu l'cho sheva shabsos shonim, you should count 7 cycles of years. That is to say, Sheva Shonim, Sheva Pe'omim, 7 times 7 years. V'hayulucho, you may Sheva Shabbosos HaShonim, Teisha V'yarboim Shona. And these days of the 7 cycles of years, the 7 cycles of 7 years, should come out to be 49 years. The whole second half of the Pasuk seems to add very little, except for those who might have failed math class back in the day. So you're going to count 7 years 7 times, and guess what? After you do that, you'll have 49 years. Oh, okay. A chiddush. What's the chiddush? Okay. Again, if you failed math class, maybe it's a chiddush, but what's the chiddush over here? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Halacha, Taras Kohanim, Vayu l'cho yimei sheva shabsos hashonim, Magid l'cho sha'af al-pi shelo asiso shmitos, Asei yovel l'sof arboim v'teish hashona. The latter half of the Pasuk, says Rashi, is addressing an interesting case. Let's say that unfortunately the Klal Yisrael does not observe the Shemitah year. So now they've come to the end of 49 years. And it's not 7 cycles of Shemitah, it's 49 years. In other words, they've ignored, unfortunately, the observance of the Shemitah year during those 49 years. Is the observance of Yovel contingent upon the observance of Shemitah? Do we say that you have to have 7 Shemitahs in order to get to a Yovel, or is it somehow something distinct from the observance of the Shemitah year? So says Rashi, again quoting Chazal in the Medrash Halacha, that's the point of the latter half of the pasuk. V'hayu l'cho yimei sheva shabsos hashonim teisha v'arboim shana. There are 2 ways to count to the Yovel. You can count to the Yovel by 7 cycles of Shemitahs, or you can count to the Yovel by 49 years. In other words, one way or the other, whether you observed Shemitah or you didn't observe Shemitah, you still observe Yovel at the end of the 49 years. That's Rashi's, again, quoting from Chazal, his take on the latter half of the pasuk. The Sfarno, interestingly, is also bothered by this question that's bothering Rashi. What's the chiddush? What's novel in the idea that the pasuk says at the end that the 7 times 7 years will come out to be 49 years? But he gives a different take on it altogether. He says what the pasuk is telling you is as follows: Lo timnat lo yovlos es shnos halavana pshutos l'cheshben shneim asar chadashim lashono aval tiyena pshutos u'baros ketikun chachamim. How do you measure a year? So one way to measure a year is 12 lunar months. Right? Okay, 12 lunar months. But we also know that the Jewish calendar is adjusted to correspond to some extent to the solar calendar. We don't simply have 12 lunar months. Every 2 or 3 years, we throw in an extra month in order to make the lunar calendar correspond as much as possible to the solar calendar. So when we count, says the Sfarno, when we count the 49 years towards Yovel, what kind of years are we talking about? Are we talking about 49 12-month periods, again, ignoring the idea of adding a leap month every 2 or 3 years? Or are we considering a year what we would ordinarily consider a year, i.e., with the additional month added in every 2 or 3 years? So says the Svarna, what the Pasuk is coming to tell you is that years for these purposes, for the purposes of counting the Yovel, are what we would normally consider to be the Jewish year, meaning it's 49 years, with every second or third year containing not 12 months, but rather 13 months. Lo timne liyovos l'shnas halavona pshutos. Don't just count 49 12-month years, the simple lunar years. Aval tiyana pshutos u'mu'ubaros. But the 49 years should contain a mixture of 12-month years and 13-month years. K'tikun chachamim, as the chachamim set up the calendar. Ba'ofen shiyuchuvnu im teisha v'yarboim shenos chama. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. V'hoyu l'cho yimei sheva shabsos shonim. The 7 times 7 years should come out to 49 years the way we count them. Shnos chama. Years that have been made to correspond with the solar year. In other words, years that have sometimes 12, but sometimes 13 months. Kimo sho'inin b'shvi'is b'li sofik. B'yosa tluya b'charisha uzriya kimo sho'hisba erba. And says the Svarno, this would certainly be the case with regard to the Shemitah year. In other words, when you calculate the Shemitah year, a Shemitah year is certainly based on 7 years, sometimes 12, sometimes 13 months. Why? Because Shemitah is a concept which is rooted in agriculture, and agriculture is dependent on the solar year, not on the lunar year. In other words, agriculture is dependent on the seasons, and what determines the seasons? Ultimately, it's the sun, not the moon. So it makes sense, of course, that Shemitah would follow the cycle of the solar years. The Chiddush, the novel idea, is that even Yovel follows the cycle of the solar years. I want to just comment on the Svarno for a moment, because the Svarno on the surface seems to be belaboring a point which seems to us almost obvious. It's so obvious that we wonder for a few moments, maybe even more for a few moments, why he even bothers spending time telling us that this is the case. I think we've all been trained since childhood to think that the system, the definition of a year is, you know, sort of whatever they print on the Jewish calendar. In other words, by definition, a year is sometimes 12 months, a year is sometimes 13 months. And, you know, the notion of a year is this elaborate system that Chazal put into place that somehow combines the lunar calendar with the solar calendar. We have lunar months, but, you know, we adjust those months in order to correspond with the season. So we have this extra month thrown in every 2 or 3 years or so. So we can't really understand, you know, when the Svarno says that when you count the 49 years to the Yovel, you're using that kind of year, a year which is sometimes 12 months, sometimes 13 months, we take that as so self-evident that we don't understand even what he's talking about. Of course, that's the definition of a year. You know, sometimes a year is 12 months, sometimes a year is 13 months. That's just the way it goes. Sometimes, you know, you have a regular year, sometimes you have a leap year. Apparently, the Svarno did not see that as being poshut, as being self-evident. And the Svarno was prepared to entertain the possibility that for certain areas of halacha, a year is defined as being 12 months, period. That the notion of inserting an extra month every 2 or 3 years might be the way the calendar works with regard to certain halachos, but not necessarily with regard to other halachos. Of course, if that were to be the case, you know, you'd need a couple of master's degrees in order to be able to figure out how the Jewish calendar would work. In other words, you know, you'd have a different starting time for the year depending on what halacha we'd be talking about. But okay, you know, I mean, to some extent we have that already. You know, Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, the Mishnah says that there are 4 new years in the Jewish year. You know, Tishrei is only one of the new years in the Jewish year. There are other new years as well. But he's basically, the Svarno is coming from the starting point that a year, fundamentally, is really 12 months, period, without any change. The typical year that we speak of is 13, sometimes it's 13 months. Yeah, that's because we have to make sure that Pesach falls out during the spring. Okay, so that's relevant for the Yom Tovim. And it's relevant for halacha like Shemitah, because Shemitah is agriculturally based. And it makes sense that Shemitah and the laws of Shemitah should somehow correspond with the seasons. But perhaps the idea of Yovel has nothing to do with the seasons. Yovel is about land returning to its original owners. Yovel is about the freeing of the slaves. Maybe Yovel is in a different category. Maybe you determine the Yovel after 49 12-month years, and the leap year, the notion of an extra month every two, three years doesn't come into consideration at all. Do we ever find that in halacha? Well, not so much in terms of halachas that we deal with, but there is a discussion in Mishnayos when a person rents a house for a year, and it happens to be a leap year. So what does he mean when he's renting the house for a year? Does he mean he's renting the house for 12 months, or he's renting the house for 13 months? Right? So we do find the concept that sometimes a year can be defined as 12 months, even when on the calendar there's an extra month which is calculated in. Maybe that's not so relevant to over here. Again, maybe that's a question of how, you know, people utilize terms when they speak in business terms. I speak in business terms, I say a year, I mean 12 months, come what may. But at least there's a havam, you know, there's a thought, says the Svarno, that Yovel might have been determined by these 12-month years, and that the leap year or the leap month wouldn't have any role in determining the Yovel. It's an interesting concept. Yeah, right. In other words, it would come out that when the Pesukim later on talk about selling the field, you're not really selling the field, you're selling the produce of the field for a number of years. Those years would be defined exclusively as 12-month periods, regardless of whether on the big calendar, you know, the other calendar, there would be a leap year or not. In terms of Yovel, you wouldn't say Chaparas Pasha, right? In other words, you know, that idea of adding in an extra phrase during a leap year would be utterly irrelevant. There are no leap years, he would say, when it comes to Yovel. Again, we don't paskin this way, but, you know, it's an interesting thought that he's playing around with. What happens during the Yovel year? So on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, the shofar is blown. That's the pasuk goes on to say in Tes. Vavarto shofar trua b'chodesh hashvi b'esor l'chodesh b'yom ha-kippurim taviru shofar b'chol artzuchem. Why is the shofar specifically associated with the Yovel year? So the Svarno gives an interesting pshat. Shofar trua, he writes, L'simchas cheirus ho'avodim v'hashovas hasodos l'ba'aleihem. The shofar, he says, is an expression of simcha. It's an expression of joy. There's joy associated with the Yovel year. The joy of the slaves, certainly, who are getting free. And the joy of the original owners of these parcels of land who are receiving their land back during the Yovel year. Where do we find that? Yeah. Oh, so where do we find this concept of shofar being associated with simcha? The truth is, it's to some extent, as Rabbi Kupferman points out in his notes, the Svarno l'shitoso, the Svarno uniquely seems to see the idea of shofar as being bound up with joy. His comments last week in Parshas Emor, where the Torah speaks of Zichron Trua, right? The Rosh Hashanah is a day of remembering Trua. So we saw last week, the Svarno understands that pasuk is not primarily about shofar, right? But rather, it's Zichron Truas Melech. The word Trua means friendship. And Rosh Hashanah reminds us of the fact that we have friendship. We have a friendship relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're happy that we have that friendship relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Because after all, God is judging us on Rosh Hashanah. And being that we have an in, you know, we have protexia with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it gives us a greater sense of confidence that he's going to judge us favorably. So Zichron, the word Trua, when used in the context of Rosh Hashanah, says the Svarno, has a very positive context to it, a very positive connotation. It speaks of the friendship and the closeness, the relationship we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So bring that back to our pasuk. Vavarto shofar trua b'chodesh hashvi'i. Right? Usually that's translated, sound the shofar of making a sound, of blasts. How does the art school translate it? Sound a broken blast on the shofar. Vavarto shofar trua. But the Svarno might say, no, the trua over here, the fact that the trua obviously means a certain kind of blast emanating from the shofar, but trua also has that connotation of friendship and joy. So vavarta shofar trua, the shofar is something joyous that we sound. It has that connotation, that aspect of it as well. It's interesting, you could take this idea of the Svarno, that the shofar has a certain joy associated with it. We usually think the opposite. We usually think of the shofar as being something frightening. The shofar, according to the Rambam, is supposed to be a source of introspection, right? You know, the shofar is supposed to wake us up on Rosh Hashanah and get us to think about who we are and what we're doing and how we can be better. Here, the shofar, the Svarno, both on Rosh Hashanah, but clearly Yom Kippur of Yovel is meant to be an expression of joy, of happiness, that something wonderful is happening right about now. That could explain the custom that we have blowing shofar at the end of Ne'ilah. Why do we have the custom blowing shofar at the end of Ne'ilah? So one of the explanations actually given is that we think, you know, we want to preserve the idea of blowing shofar in the Yovel year. We just don't know which year is the Yovel year. So we'll blow shofar every year. Maybe this is a Yovel year, and maybe we should be blowing shofar. On the surface, even though the Rishonim says it seems a little bit funny. So, you know, 49 out of 50 times, you got to get it wrong. Right? So in other words, the chance that it's actually a Yovel year is actually 1 out of 50. It's a 2% chance, not a very high chance, you know, that it's going to be Yovel. So for that 2% chance, we're going to blow shofar every single year. You know, based on the Svarno, who sees the shofar as being an expression of joy, the joy that we have in Yovel exists, granted, on a lesser degree, to a lesser degree, but that joy we have every year at the conclusion of Yom Kippur. Hopefully, at the end of Yom Kippur, our Averos have been forgiven. So the blowing of the end of Yom Kippur serves to express that joy that we have, that Baruch Hashem, you know, the end of Yom Kippur has come and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, you know, hopefully forgiven our Averos. The next pasuk says, V'kidashtem eshnas ha-chamishim shana, you should sanctify the 50th year. Rashi explains that means there's a formal act that the Sanhedrin engages in to sanctify, to declare the Yovel year as having begun. B'knisaso mekadshin osa bebezdin, when the year begins, the Sanhedrin sanctifies the year. V'amru mekudeshes hashana, they say the year is a holy one. U'krosem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha, you should proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof, as it says on the bell. And then it says, Yovel hi tihi elochem, it should be a Yovel to you. And that phrase also, you wonder what it means exactly. So Rashi says that Yovel Hiti Elochem means the name of this year is called the Yovel year. But what does the word Lochem mean to you in that context? Yovel hi, right? It's called a Yovel. Just say, you know, Yovel hi. It's called Yovel. V'shavta mishalach uzoso, and everyone should go back to this original property. What's tiyeh lochem? This Yovel year should be to you, as opposed to whom? So the Svarno writes very beautifully over here as follows. He says, shetiyu gamatem b'nei chorin mishibur ha'umos. This Yovel impacts not only on the slaves, and it impacts not only on the people who were landowners who sold their land, this Yovel impacts on the Jewish people as a whole. Every single Jew is impacted upon by the Yovel year. So a person will say, well, why me? I'm not a slave. I didn't sell my land. What's Yovel do with me? Shetiu gamatem b'nei chor mishibur ha'umos. No. By virtue of the Yovel, all of you, the entire Jewish people, will be free from being subjugated by the nations of the world. Al hepech ma sha'omar, atem lo shmatem ilai lekro dror ish le'achiv, hineni kore lochem dror nu ma'ashem al acherev el adev v'yal arov. Quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. This is actually the haftar for Parshas Mishpatim, which as it happens we very rarely read because usually Mishpatim is Parshas Shkalim or something else. But in Sefer Yirmiyahu it describes how Yirmiyahu went to the king and he said, you know, people are not being careful, the people in Yerushalayim are not being careful about the mitzvah to free their Jewish slaves after 6 years of servitude. So, good, they went and they freed all their slaves and then they went and they took their slaves back again. So then Yirmiyahu comes back to the people and he says, you didn't follow this mitzvah to set the slaves free. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and subjugate all of you because of your failure to grant freedom to your slaves. The Jewish people is going to be subjugated. Now, the Babylonians are going to come and conquer Klal Yisrael and take, you know, capture Yerushalayim, burn the Beis HaMikdash and subjugate the Jewish people because you weren't careful about this essential mitzvah of not subjugating others. So if that's true about this halacha with regard to letting the Eved Ivri, the Jewish slave, go after 6 years, it's equally true, says